Blog Talk Radio.
This ain't no ordinary world. This ain't no ordinary song, yeah. The God of Self is greater than the ordinary. So I'ma give them all I have.
Yes, no ordinary worship, no ordinary praise. Welcome, brothers and sisters, today to Daily Fire. It is your daily devotion. You do not want to let your day go by without tuning in to this powerful word. I am your host, Evangelist Attorney Rossi Williams, here with you live Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, and God has an awesome word for you today. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 18. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 18. And while you get those Bibles ready, let me quickly remind you of how to tune in and stay connected with me. Monday through Friday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern, when I'm live here on Daily Fire, tune in by calling 323-870-4180 or from the broadcast page of my ministry website, rossi.org. That's rawsi.org. But if you cannot tune in live, still ensure that you get each day's teaching, text straight to your phone by following the podcast. Follow by texting the letters DF to phone number 33222, and you will receive a confirmation text, which includes today's teaching, so you can share this word with others or go back and re-listen to it and get those scriptures again, because I have quite a few scriptures for you today. Again, follow by texting the letters DF. D as in daily, F as in fire, to phone number 33222. Finally, if you are unable to write this down, all of this information is on my ministry website, rossi.org. You can learn more, see my itinerary, donate to the ministry, send your prayer requests, testimonies. You can also see how to follow me on social media. Everything is at Rossi Williams. So go to rossi.org, R-A-W-S-I. O-R-G. By now, you should have your Bibles ready. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 18, reading from the KJV. Flee fornication. Then there's a period. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Praise God for the reading of his word. Our topic for today's Daily Fire devotion is dealing with sexual sin. Dealing with sexual sin. Don't you love it? This is what we do here on Daily Fire. We tackle everyday issues from biblical perspective to grow you and empower you in every area of your life. So we're not just going to deal with fornication, but we're going to talk about all kinds of sexual sin today. And if I don't finish it today, we'll do part two tomorrow. So let's start here. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth or a woman committeth is without the body. In other words, everything else that we do, it is external to our body. Doesn't mean it doesn't affect the body, but the body does not get as intertwined in the other sin as it does with sex, because sex will actually consume and entangle your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. Isn't this good teaching? It's sometimes referred to as having soul ties. You know, you could commit other sin and maybe it will impact your body. For example, maybe gluttony will cause you to become morbidly obese, And that will have natural impact on your health, right? You may experience heart problems. You may experience, some other issues because of your weight. You may experience difficulty breathing. You may end up with all kinds of issues because of your weight. But that, even so, doesn't entangle the heart, soul, mind, and body. But sex is so powerful that it entangles the entire you. I want you to just think about that. Sex is so powerful that it has destroyed marriages. Sex is so powerful that it has destroyed careers. You will have men who will risk their presidency over sexual sin. You have men who will lose or risk their entire businesses built up over decades of hard work just to go out and have one night of a tryst with someone else outside of their marriage. There was a governor, if you recall, whose staff couldn't find him for over a week or two, or the people couldn't find him, and the staff was saying, well, he's out hiking in the mountains, and when everything came out in the wash, he was out with his mistress. That's where he'd been for 1 or 2 weeks, and he was married to a very ultra wealthy lady. I mean, if you research it, you probably know who I'm speaking of. But if you don't, you'll Google it and you'll find it. His wife was ultra wealthy in her own right due to her family's business ties. And so what happened is, once it came out that he'd really been with his mistress for those 1 or 2 weeks, his own wife couldn't even find him, then she divorced him. And this was a major story, not only because no one could find the governor and people were seeking him, even though his immediate staff knew he was out there in the affair. They just kept saying he's hiking in the mountains, so we can't reach him. But it was also a renowned and profound story because, unlike many wives in those situations who stay and excuse the person's actions, she filed for divorce. Sex is powerful. Sex destroys ministries. There's a pastor right now who's a well-known pastor who's many times been caught up in adultery, and his wife has said, oh, it's okay, I forgive him, who's now in the news again because this time he and his side chick were FaceTiming one another. You know, previously he bought his wife a Lamborghini to make up for the last affair. But now the lady with whom he was committing adultery, she's released some of the FaceTime videos. There are situations where pastors have been sending full naked selfies. And so then when they are no longer giving the woman the money or whatever, she reveals that. And it's not only men who cheat, women as well. This is how powerful sex is. And it's in the church. God made us to desire sex. So we got to discuss this and break this down, right? So the first sexual sin we're going to discuss for today, I'm going to end up doing a part two tomorrow, it's fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18. So fornication is when two unmarried people have sex. That's fornication. And what did it say there? Flee fornication. Not discuss it, not entertain it, but flee it, because it is the sin that is born of sex, which will come in and capture everything about you, and it will be so hard to disassociate yourself and disentangle yourself from the person with whom you are committing fornication, because it is a sexual sin. You see, you can go to church every Sunday, every week for Bible study, Sunday school, and really have that desire to do right. Come on, let's just talk. Can we be real here? Really have the desire to do what you're supposed to do, but because fornication or sexual sin encapsulates you and consumes you, even though you hear that word and you resolve within yourself before you leave that I'm not going to do this anymore, once you get out that door and you see that person again, you will have that sexual arousal because every sin, every other sin is without the body, but the sexual sin. Isn't this good teaching? So you have to be first convinced in your mind that fornication is sin. See, if you're not convinced that it's sin, then you will excuse everything you do. I can tell you as a single woman who so much desires to get married that dating is extremely hard when you are abstinent. I mean, I get so many offers for dates. I can't tell you how many offers. I get so many men saying, oh, they want to marry me, all of these things. And, you know, my looks are not an issue. My career is not an issue. My finance is not an issue. And when I told them I'm a Christian, that's not an issue until I break my Christianity down to say that I'm absent. That's an issue. And I understand it. And I don't get on the soapbox to judge people and say, oh, I thought you told me you were a Christian. I understand the power of sex. Glory. Can I teach you here today? And I understand that when they say, well, I cannot marry someone without having sex with the person at least one time, because the two major reasons that divorces occur are due to sex and finances. Constant research has shown that. So what if we get married and the sex life is not good? Then either I'm going to have to cheat. I mean, these are the conversations. Either I'm going to have to cheat or I'm going to be in this very unhappy marriage or I'm going to get divorced. Dealing with sexual sin. And then the other thing is that people will say, well, I'm common law married. Our marriage ain't nothing but a piece of paper. Look, that is a worldly perspective. That is not a biblical perspective. God ordained and established the institution of marriage when he presided over the marriage of Adam and Eve by creating Eve and taking her to Adam and saying, this is the woman I created for you. She is taken from your rib. And Adam said to her, you are now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. There wasn't a physical courtroom there. God was the judge and marriage is honorable. Oh, because see, I'm going to teach you about adultery as a sexual sin, and I'm going to teach you about same sex as a sexual sin. And I got scriptures for everything because that's the way it should be, shouldn't it? So marriage, number one, is honorable and ordained by God. Number two, your birth certificate is a piece of paper, isn't it? But try to go and be able to do official duties, and they ask you for a birth certificate, or try to enroll your kid in school, and they ask you for it, and you say, it ain't nothing but a piece of paper. I guarantee you, you won't be able to get them in, or you won't be able to get the job that required it. Tell them it ain't nothing but a piece of paper when they ask you for your Social Security card. Tell the police officer, driver's license ain't nothing but a piece of paper when they pull you over for a traffic stop. Tell the election officials, driver's license or your ID ain't nothing but a piece of paper when you go to try to vote in November and you don't have one of the forms of required ID. And then you just say, well, you know, it ain't nothing but a piece of paper. Even though you may be able to cast provisional ballots, if you can't produce what is required, your vote won't count. Tell or let your boss tell you when it's time to get paid, we're not going to put that money in your account because money ain't nothing but a piece of paper. Do you see what I mean? The paper is official, it is legal, and it creates the binding legal duty. This is the importance of it. I dare you to just be in a relationship with a man and a woman, and then they unfortunately, we're going to get ready to go into prayer, experienced a catastrophic illness. This is my attorney hat talking to you today. And then they're in the hospital, and their family comes in to make the decisions, and you say, well, I'm his girlfriend, or I'm his fiance, or I'm his wife. And they say, no, 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 they're not married, and we don't even want him or her in the room. They will have the authority. Because, see, to you, marriage wasn't nothing but a piece of paper, but the piece of paper is what shows the hospital who has the authority to make the decisions for the person. So if you are not married, you don't have the piece of paper showing that you and he are married. You are in fornication. And even in those states where you allege it's common law marriage, you then got to have the documentation or the papers to even prove that a common law marriage situation existed. The paper is important. Don't let anyone fool you there. Plead fornication. Dealing with sexual sin. You're going to have to admit that it is sin. So that you can then submit your life to Christ to change your mindset so that your relationship with God becomes more important than your relationship with the man or woman, so that the eternity of your soul and where you will spend eternity becomes more of a priority than the gratuity of the moment, because sex is powerful. Sex feels good. Sex consumes us, and we are sexual creatures. So it's not that I'm telling you you can't have sex. I'm telling you that you must have an alignment with the Word of God. Here's a good teaching for our time is running out, so we got to go into prayer. Then I'm going to end with the altar call and your task. We'll deal with part two of this tomorrow, because I'm not only going to teach you what sexual sin is in any situation, I'm going to teach you how to get out of it and how to submit yourself to Christ. Okay, I'm not going to leave you there, because I've not always been who I am. Can I just be real with you? So many times people see me, evangelist, attorney, Army veteran, registered nurse for over 20 years, because I became an attorney later in life after my brother was incarcerated. They see all of the other credentials that I have. They see the kind of car I drive, the Maserati. They see where I live, you know, in an affluent area of Miami. They see how I look. They see my nails done. Come on now, can I just get real? They see my purses and my Louboutins and the amount of money I give and the things I'm able to do, and they see my hair is in place, and, you know, they see me on television as an attorney, and they see I minister, and they say, oh, my God, she has it all together. And what I will say to you is, at this very moment, did you hear what I just said? Can you bear with me for a minute? Because I'm helping someone else here today who's been measuring their success against mine. At this very moment, I do. But can I share with you that there were so many times that I didn't? I wasn't born saved. And even after giving my life to Christ over 30 years, well, almost 30 years ago, I have not always lived perfect. There have been times that I've not done what God told me to do. There have been many times I've not done what God told me to do. There have been many times that I've backslidden. There were times that I would sit down with myself and question whether or not I wanted to continue to live saved. Because sometimes I really just wanted to go off on some people. Sometimes I got tired of always trying to treat people right, only for them to treat me any kind of way, say anything that they wanted to say, and feel like it was okay and I still had to love them. Can I just be real with you? There were times I got tired of dealing with the saints, always telling me, trying to tell me what to do, or, you know, always trying to tell me this and that about your skirt or your makeup, like somehow they thought that their title made them more saved or more experienced. experienced in salvation than I was. And, you know, I would just look at them like, wow, you don't know anything about me. You hadn't questioned my background. You just saw me and tried to judge me because I'm younger, but I've been saved and gone way farther in ministry than you have, saved, anointed, used by the Lord way more than you have, brought more souls into the kingdom. Oh, my God, if you only knew. And before you could even take the time to find out who I was, you just thought that your title gave you, your title alone, just gave you the authority to say anything to me any kind of way. I'm grown. Come to me with the respect that I'm grown. Because I'm teachable and I'm trainable. I'll listen. I'm just giving you, telling you about me. But the one thing I won't tolerate is your disrespect. And coming to me disrespectful as if you're my parent. Because even if you are over people in Christ, you have to know how to approach people. And I thank the Lord for my pastor, Pastor Errol Cooper Sr. of First Deliverance Church of God in Christ. Because his interpersonal skills are out of this world. The way he speaks with you makes you want to do what he's asking you to do. Notice I said what he's asking, because as adults, he can't really make you do anything, right? Your pastor can't make you do anything. All your pastor can do is say, I'll sit you down or I'll remove this title. For me, that's not important because my titles, you know, and my licenses, and I'll have those regardless. So I don't care about a pastor telling me I'll do this or I'll do that, because the evangelism is the call on my life, and I'm going to evangelize and teach, preach, do what God has me to do, whether your church lets me do it or not, right? Because I know who I am in Christ. But Pastor Cooper is one of the few pastors I've seen in life who really understands that, and that is what gives him great interpersonal skills. He knows how to approach people, even if he's having to speak with you from a place of the discipline of who he is as pastor. He knows how to talk with people. But there were many times, and I'm going to let you go, okay, that I would sit down and say, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. There were times that tired of, you know, a man being interested and, oh, God, just in love with me, but saying he couldn't deal with the abstinence. Sexual sin. It's powerful. There were times I was broke. I mean, literally broke. There were times when I was going to close my law office. This is 2020. I opened my law office in 2013. And I'm going to go into prayer and we're going to end. But I hope that me sharing with you how I, you know, have had to struggle in this walk will help you, too, not only to understand that being a Christian doesn't take away your everyday struggles, but that you can make a decision to get it together, and you can get it together. I opened my law office in 2013. In 2016, I was about to close. I was literally almost insolvent, almost bankrupt, not because I didn't have clients. I had so many clients that even my mentor was shocked. I had more clients than the mentor who'd been in law practice for over 30 years. The problem was that as a Christian, I was so trying to help everyone that I was charging almost no fees or doing pro bono to the point where I could not even pay my bills. And it took my mother and my son is 23 now, so he was about 20 then. It took them really having a come to Jesus meeting with me and quite a few of my friends and my siblings. And they had to do this many times, I tell you, to tell me you have to stop doing this. And, you know, helping me to walk myself through the word of God that me not being able to pay my bills was not righteous, because God requires us to be a good steward of our finances, and God requires our word to others to be true. So your word to your creditors when they gave you the money was that you were going to pay them. Jesus. Now, fast forward to 2020, and my office does extremely well. But I had to go through. Here I am still wanting to be married. I've been saying for over 10 years, every year that I'm going to get married. I desire to be married. And I would make a great wife. So what do I do when every man wants to marry me, but they're not going to get married without being able to have sex, and I'm abstinent? Jesus, we're going to finish this up tomorrow. Let's go into prayer, dealing with sexual sin. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Lord, this is a powerful word. We're going to break some soul ties. We're going to break some bonds. We're going to release some men and women from fornication and from adultery and from homosexuality and from lust. We're going to release people into the best years of their lives by dealing with the soul ties of sex that bind us and motivate us to risk our souls, to risk our ministries, to risk our marriages, to risk our businesses, to risk our reputation, to risk our careers, to risk our sexual health, to risk our peace of mind, to risk the peace of our spirit, to risk eternity. Sex is powerful, God, and you made us to desire sex, so there's nothing wrong with the desire, and there's nothing wrong, Father, with us wanting to have that connection. That's how you made us. But God, this is a fight. This is a fight for our lives, for our health, for our souls, for our spirits, for our peace of mind, for our marriages. This is a fight for our ministries of anointing and churches. This is a fight, God, for our peace of mind. This is a fight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, my God. Now, Lord, I pray for everyone listening, that you would bless them right now. Bless them when they rise. Bless them when they lie down. Bless them in the city and bless them in the field. Bless them in their relationships. Bless them in their marriages. Bless them in their ministries. Bless them in their health. Bless them in their jobs. Bless them in the decisions that they're having to make even right now regarding the person that they're having sex with or the people that they're having sex with. Bless them, Lord, because they need the power to overcome. They need the power to make a decision to do the right thing, Father. They need the power to make a decision to do the right thing, to stay focused on the right thing, to live committed to the right thing. Everywhere they go and everywhere they look, sexual temptation is all around. They need the power. Glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on and just give God praise. This is just a powerful word. This is why you don't miss Daily Fire. If you're not able to tune in live at 7 a.m. Eastern, make sure you follow so you will get the recording. If you follow, even today's teaching will be in the recording, and you can share it with someone else. And as I do part two tomorrow and get into these other things and sexual sin and how to deal with this, you'll get that recording at 8 a.m. You can share it with someone else, even your husband or wife or your girlfriend or boyfriend, and you guys can sit down and talk about this. You can share it with your grown children. If you're a pastor or ministry, you can send this out to your ministry. Or you got a singles ministry, a marriage ministry. You can send this out to your ministry and let the people hear it. Glory. Follow by texting the letters DF to phone number 3D33222. You don't have to worry. I'm an evangelist, not a pastor. I don't try to ask anyone to come be my member. You don't have to worry. I don't ask people to tithe to me because that goes to your church. This is about teaching. And maybe this has even been an area that you've been struggling to have this conversation or teaching with your church. Follow to get the recording. And for teachings that you feel are applicable to your church, just send it out. Praise the Lord. All right. For those of you who are saved, I'm going to do the altar calls and I'm going to end with your task. I apologize for going over. I'm really going to discipline myself to stay within the 15 minutes and just make teachings a part two that go longer. Okay, that's my commitment to you going forward. If you are unsaved, if you are backslidden, if you're in fornication, if you're having sex outside of your marriage, in adultery, if you're in same-sex relationship, I want you to repeat after me. Father, I come in Jesus' name. I repent and ask forgiveness of my sin. I now understand that sexual sin is sin. I now understand that sex outside of marriage is sin. I understand that I am to flee fornication. I now understand the power of sex. And I choose today not to let sex win over me. I choose today not to risk my soul, not to risk my life, not to risk my career, not to risk my eternity, not to risk my mind, glory, not to risk my peace of mind, not to risk my eternity with you for sex. Now, Lord, I ask you to become my Savior. Now, Lord, I confess that I am saved. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I confess that I am rededicated to you. Now, Lord, I am victorious. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Welcome to the family of Christ. Make sure that you're spending time with the Lord every day. That is how you stay saved. Now, I'm going to do something I don't usually do. I'm going to go ahead and give you the scriptures for part two tomorrow, and that way you can read them if you'd like. Before we get into this, because I won't be able to read every scripture in detail. If I do, we'd have to go into a part three, and that may happen. But today was 1 Corinthians 6:18 that talked about fleeing fornication. Okay, tomorrow, Hebrews 13:4, we're talking about adultery sin, extramarital sexual sin. Hebrews 13:4. Proverbs 6:32. Luke 16:18. Because we're going to talk about the sexual sin of remarriage after divorce. And I am divorced, so believe me, the word hits me as well. You got that? Hebrews 13:4. Proverbs 6:32. Luke 6:18. We're going to talk about the sexual sin of homosexuality, Romans 1:24-28. Romans 1:24-28. You got that? 2 Timothy 2:22. Romans 12:1-2. Romans 7:14-21. Again, I won't be reading all of these. I'll be teaching from them. Philippians 4:8-9. And Luke 1:37. If you couldn't get all of those, again, just text DF to 33222 so you'll get the teaching sent to you via text and you'll be able to get those scriptures. Okay, or go to my ministry website, rossi.org. On the broadcast page, you'll be able to hear today's sermon. I'm sorry, teaching as well, rawsi.org. All right, dealing with sexual sins. Today we focused on fornication. Change is coming in your life. Your task for today is to flee fornication and to get out of all sexual sins. I'll see you in the morning. Change.
It's been a long